You are listening to The New Man, Beyond the Macho Jerk and the New Age Wimp. Your host is men's coach and group facilitator, Trip Lanier. He is joined in the studio by the show's producer, Casey Capshaw.
Are you the type of guy that secretly distrusts other men? Have you been believing some unconscious story about being a victim? And are you running out of things to cross off of your bucket list, only to realize that the last thing to do before you die is get to know who you really are? This week, I'm in the studio with Ed Fell of the Mankind Project. Listen in as we talk about how this program has men all over the world tolerating less bullshit in their lives. Welcome to The New Man. Today, I've got Ed Fell. He's a certified leader and trainer with the Mankind Project International. Ed, welcome to the show.
Hey, Trip. Thanks. Good to see you.
Thanks. I'm glad you could come in here and talk to me about the Mankind Project. I've heard lots about it through you, through various guys in men's groups that I've participated in. Mm-hmm. I've never participated in the Mankind Project, and so I wanted to have you here to talk about it. Mm-hmm. What is the Mankind Project?
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe first you ought to consider doing it. Trip, but
gee, I didn't see that one coming.
Curveball. The Mankind Project was its original name was the New Warrior Training Adventure, started back in Milwaukee in the mid 80s.
Okay,
by three guys. One was a Vietnam jet pilot, another guy was a big visionary in the feminist movement, and another guy was just really talented at personal transformation.
Okay,
and they saw a need for initiation. For guys, we haven't had an initiation for anybody in our country ever.
Now, initiation, what are you talking about? Because we've had some shows in the past about guys being initiated into manhood. Mm-hmm. Is that what you're talking about?
What I'm talking about, into their sacred masculine. We don't have any. A bar mitzvah is not initiation. Men are hungry for initiation, so what they do to get initiated may be in a negative way, getting part of a gang, being in prison, that kind of thing. We're creating an initiation that is incredibly positive, that a man will find his own innate sacred power.
Okay, and so this is building on a foundation or a belief, which we've talked about in earlier shows, that in past cultures, there's been some event, some ordeal in a young man's life, typically when he's a teenager, that helps him really get the fact that he's a man now.
Yep.
There's some shift. And because that, we've lost those cultural and we've lost those rituals in our own modern day culture.
Exactly.
You guys are coming in and creating that for guys. How do I know that I want to do this process?
Well, it's interesting. When I went through the training in 91, I was having lunch with a friend who had done it, and he said, "Ed, go do it. Just leave your nice guy therapist at home and go do it."
Uh-huh.
There was something inside of me that called to it, that said, this is what I've been hungry for my whole life. I've always been a seeker. I've always wanted to find truths somewhere.
And what were you doing? So let's explore that a little bit. What were you doing to try and find that?
Well, I had tried lots of different things. I had tried fundamentalism, Christianity. I had tried other things in the self-help, self-growth movement, read a lot of books. I had my master's degree at that point. So I was looking for lots of different answers, but I was always left a little bit dissatisfied. Nothing was really giving me that juicy, juicy love of life with my heart open. There were parts that were still shut down in me that I didn't even know were shut down.
And by being shut down, what do you actually, what's that feel like? Or what are you talking about? I was shut down. How do I even know I'm shut down?
Well, it's interesting. When I did the training, I had a lot of shame about the word warrior in this group.
Right. It's the new warrior.
So the new warrior training adventure is the initiation part. And so I knew my first task was, I got to get over this fear of saying this word in public.
Warrior.
Warrior, 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 you know, warrior. I choke on it, you know. So I figured the first person I'd call and let them know that I'm going to go do this training, I called my mother. And I said, Mom, I'm going over to, I lived in Philadelphia at the time. I'm going to Milwaukee and I'm going to go do this new warrior training. And then the worst thing that could possibly happen, there was silence on the other end of the phone.
Uh-oh.
And then she says, it's about time.
Oh.
She said, it's about time you go do your work. And I said, she said, I bet you haven't cried since you were 8.
Wow.
And she was right.
Wow.
At that point, I could feel like the dam building, you know, like these welling up of emotions, mm-hmm. but which I had to stuff down really quick.
Yeah, yeah.
So I went to Milwaukee. I did the training, and there was, and we still do this process. There's a deconstruction of our ego. There's a confrontation of how we lie to ourselves about who we are and what's truth about how our lives are working and not working.
So it just cuts through the bullshit.
Cuts through the total bullshit within the first couple hours of being there.
Okay.
And then there's a descent.
I can't imagine that's very fun.
No, it wasn't. It was pretty hard.
You get your name tag. You get your name tag, go sit down. Yeah. And now here's where your life's full of shit. Is that
yeah, yeah. Yeah. But it's a self-introspect. You know, like you got to tell on yourself. We demand men tell the truth.
Uh-huh.
That's where we come in with this culture. And then they're like, they're dying to tell the truth. They're dying to find out what's really been itching them, and they haven't been able to. We give them tools to find out what's not working.
Yeah, so I tell on myself, as you say.
Exactly.
I come out, and then on the other side is like, what a fucking relief
yeah.
to just let go of the facade.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So what happens when we're little guys, our mothers say, okay, don't touch that, don't eat that, don't put that in your mouth, don't kiss her, girls are that, boys are this. Mm-hmm. So we're left with all this stuff of the do's and don'ts of how to be masculine.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, we lose a lot of who we really, really, really are.
And is that the warrior? Is that what they're pointing to when they say that? Is who you really are in this masculine way?
Part of it, but it's part of, there's a lot of archetypes that we've had to put aside. Robert Bly talks about that long bag we pull behind us that's loaded with all that stuff that we weren't allowed to express.
Right.
So that's a lot of energy.
Mm-hmm.
What we want to do is get men to reach in that bag, look at what they've thrown away, and in there, they're going to find their power. They're going to find juice. They're going to find purpose.
Okay.
They're going to find some core values of accountability and opening their hearts and living with a heartful place.
That helps, because I can imagine where if someone hears warrior and we're going to help men get their power, mm-hmm. they could be scared. They could be like, oh, I don't know if this sounds good. These guys are going to, like, men are already the cause of all the fucking problems
exactly.
we have in Western society.
Yeah.
We don't need them becoming more powerful
yep.
or more warrior-esque.
Right. Or but, take control or,
yeah.
or take control of organizations or countries or...
But there's something different here.
There is something different. It's not about service to a tyrant kind of king, but it's a service to a higher power that we're serving. And as a warrior, we're looking to serve not only just ourselves and our families, but we're looking to be of service on the planet through our life mission.
Okay. Wow, that's huge.
We help men find that life mission, what it is, what is really their innate purpose that they were born with.
Now, what's the age of a typical guy that's doing this? Because I imagine if I'm in my 20s or I may be just really concerned with getting a piece of ass and mm-hmm. making some money, but there mm-hmm. maybe there's something that shifts. And maybe it happens in my 20s, but there's something that happens along the way where I'm just like, is this really it? Is
yeah.
this really all there is? Is
right.
that what the guy's asking when he's coming into this program?
Well, it's interesting. Now we're having more and more younger guys coming through, 18, 19, 20.
Wow.
And what we want to do with these guys is mentor them really well after they do the training. And then we have guys, probably the mean age of guys is somewhere around 45,
uh-huh.
where they've lived long enough. They've maybe disillusioned with their lives, been through a divorce or two. Struggling, and they're looking for some answers.
Okay.
We've had guys, I had one guy initiated in DC back in the 90s who was 83, who had soloed the Atlantic Ocean in this tiny little sailboat and was in the Guinness World Book of Records.
Oh my God.
And just, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how old a guy is, how young. We have very, very, very wealthy men. We have men who are homeless. So it stretches the broad range of who we are as men in America.
I like that, because if I'm thinking initiation, I'm kind of thinking back to I'm in my teens, early 20s.
Right.
I want to become a man. But if I'm 83 years old and I've soloed across the ocean, I've dealt with some serious ordeals, but there's still something within me that wants to cross this imaginary, not imaginary, but this kind of subtle interior threshold.
Yeah. What do we do as men? We love jumping out of airplanes. We love skiing mogul hills. We love taking on the outer kind of adventures and conquering our fears there. But the real fear is the inside stuff.
Yeah.
The real fear is loving so passionately that it's going to break us apart.
Do you see guys that are coming through the program that have probably done some amazing shit in their lives?
Yeah.
Like they've really, and it's like they've run out of things to check off
exactly.
on their list.
Right, right. The
and
bucket now it's list, yeah.
The bucket list, right. And they're like, huh, that didn't do it.
Yeah.
That didn't do it. That didn't fill this hole. Oh, it's time to go in.
Yeah. And the last item on the bucket list is go down and look at your own shit.
Yeah. Actually peel back. So,
peel back those layers.
Peel back and actually get to know this guy that I've been trying to, you know, distract myself from these, whatever that might be.
That's right. That's right.
And so why would a guy do that versus, I'm imagining, like, it sounds like it's almost in the realm of therapy. Is it like therapy? Or because if I've got this hole in me, there must be something wrong with me. Maybe I need to go be healed. Or there's this Mankind Project. Help me differentiate the guy that would go into therapy versus the guy that would go into the Mankind Project.
Well, there are a lot of guys that look at it as a therapeutic tool, that they deal with their own shadows and they find what's powerful about them and learn to live a good life. And that has some similarities to therapy. We call ourselves an educational program.
Okay.
It's an educational. That's how we're doing under 501c3. We're an educational program. And so men are coming in to deal with just their own demons. Mm. And there isn't a lot of woo-woo therapy going on here. It's pretty, it's fierce, it's tender, it's strong, it's powerful, it's spiritual. It's mainly dealing with the interior stuff.
Now, is this where I'm going to be running around naked out in the woods, beating on drums and singing Kumbaya and that kind of shit? Or what?
Because my new age meter is going off, so I'm kind of like, what is this actually?
No, it's not very woo-woo at all. We do have some sites where we do it in the woods, but we're not running around naked in the woods, beating drums and that kind of thing.
Okay.
There are about 50 processes throughout the weekend. Usually most of them are indoors, and they're doing whatever to do to confront what isn't working in our lives.
So let's go back a bit, because you said that the weekend is an initiation. You talked a little bit about how immediately, right off the bat, it gets confrontational about where we're bullshitting ourselves and others in our own lives.
Exactly.
And you're saying there's over 40 or 50 processes that a guy is led through over a weekend? Just in a weekend?
Just in one weekend. From the moment he begins the weekend, he begins to go through process after process after process. And maybe the processes are only a couple minutes long, or they may be 4 hours long.
And would you say that a process is a form of a challenge, or can you give? I know you probably can't give me some examples because you've got a little shroud of secrecy around this ceremony. But
ceremony.
But what can you tell me about it? What can you say?
There isn't much I can tell you about the processes specifically. What I can tell you that each one is designed to help a man look at his stuff. And he may have set up, we may set up some process for him during the weekend where he can reclaim his balls, where he can reclaim his heart, where he can grieve maybe that grandfather that he lost when he was five and never been able to grieve. We give men opportunities, whatever their individual issue is, to help them find what they need to do to reclaim their power.
So this isn't some kind of factory like of things, and then we're going to do this, and then you're going to do this. It is tailored. You tailor it to the individual man and his needs.
Yes, for the most part, it is. I mean, there are some patent things that every man goes through.
Right.
And there are some very, very unique tailored thing. And each man will have uniquely his own experience through that whole weekend.
Let's go back. You got invited to do this. You told your mom you were going to do this process. And you'd been, and to your credit, you'd been trying a lot of shit up to that point.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you go through the weekend. What was different for you?
I think the big thing was different for me was the big chunk was finding my own grief. There was something about finding my grief, and finding my grief helped me find my strength as a man. I had put so much power into hiding this part of me and running from it that I didn't get a chance to. There's something about my grief that helped me learn to relate intimately with people around me.
And was it grief into a particular event, or was it just like this, you were just grieving not being a boy anymore, or what was it? Was it tied to a specific thing?
Well, part of my own personal history that I don't want to go in here, but I was a victim of a lot of abuse and stuff in my past.
Okay.
And, you know, part of my shtick was to hold on to that and hide behind the victimness of who I was. Because of stuff happened to me, then I could hide behind it. Well, that's bullshit.
Okay.
That's bullshit. It helped me to get through that story and to reclaim my power as a man in my life, to make a difference.
You know, that takes some guts for a process. I've done that. I facilitated that process, and mm-hmm. it does take guts to, like, this guy's, yeah, he's had some shit happen to him, mm-hmm. and I do have compassion for that, mm-hmm. but he's also kind of bullshitting us. He's keeping us away from him with this victim thing.
Yes, exactly.
And so how do we have skill to say, hey, I get that this shit happened to
right.
you, and
right.
let's cut the shit so you can have a better life.
Exactly. You can't live in that costume all the time of the victim. None of us can, and because it just doesn't work. And yeah. frankly, the world needs new warriors. The world needs men who are going to stand up, especially with what's going on in our country now, in our world now.
What would that look like? You know, you talked about guys reclaiming their balls, guys getting more in touch with their grief, which I imagine creates more spaciousness in their life. Mm-hmm. They don't have to use up their energy dragging this bag of shit around, as you said,
exactly.
you know, the Robert Bly thing.
Right.
But what would it look like with more warriors in the world? What is possible?
Well, you know, I have some friends that several times a year create a circle in Folsom Prison with the lifers.
Hmm.
And they go and do initiations with these guys.
Hmm.
I have friends who are big, have always been on the front lines and dealing in Special Olympics. I have a dear friend here in Denver who spends a couple days a week at the Vets Administration helping vets come back to themselves.
Uh-huh.
So lots of ways men are of service throughout the world after having done this work. And, you know, the majority of men, what they do is they go home and become better dads, or they become better partners, better lovers. And by the way, this group is open to all men, regardless of their, you know, who they love.
Anybody, everyone's welcome. And it's mm-hmm. not just this thing that I go and do
right.
a weekend or two a year,
right.
or I did it that one time and now it's over.
Yep.
But it's actually, these guys are more and more likely to be movers and shakers in the world and to positively impact their world around them.
Right. What's neat about it too is, you know, the weekend was just a weekend. After a weekend, you can throw it away. You had a great experience. But what New Warrior we do is we take these men who have done the weekend and we train them a little bit more in what we call an integration group, where for, you know, 10 weeks or so, they're meeting as a group. And they learn some processes. They learn how to do deeper work with each other. They learn how to set up a safe container for them to continue to do their work for years and years and years. And then these men continue to meet over for years and years. I've been meeting in men's groups since 1991. Mm. And these are the guys, you know, I think about some of them who would, you know, who have committed to me that they're going to be there to bury me when I die and take care of my family.
Mm.
It's more than just an initiation. It's a worldwide community. I like to say that I have a Motel 6 anywhere in the world because I have brothers all over the world. This movement's moving all over the world.
Yeah.
Where I can stay and be with their families.
I like that you make the distinction between it being this kind of peak event you know, on this such and such date, right. I went through this thing. And then there's actually a program, an integration right. that a guy goes through. So this stuff actually sticks.
That's right.
It's not that I went and had this, wow, amazing. And then 6 months later, I was like, what the hell was that?
That's
I
right.
I made a commitment. I was going to do this. And then
that's right.
I'm totally out of touch because none of my other friends are into this thing. So I get sucked back into the old way of being. But mm-hmm. with integration groups and with mm-hmm. other offerings, I imagine that you guys have, this stuff sticks. There's a pathway that you guys are offering.
Exactly. And men are hungry. Once they go through the training, they may want something more. So part of my training is I train, do leadership trainings. There's other paths that men can go. We have a path for elders. We honor elders, and elders get actually bigger and have more clout in our organization than the rest of the world. So there's places for men wherever they want to contribute. We are, it's like a Enlightenment university without walls. Men have places to go to continue to learn and grow.
Yeah. And this is, you're not shitting me. It is all around the world. You go to Australia and teach.
Yep. I'll be in Australia in a couple of weeks. There are centers in Australia, New Zealand. Australia just has really taken off. They have three centers there in Australia. South Africa, some of the most incredible work with men on the planet is going on right now there.
Wow.
It's amazing what's going on. Europe, France, Germany, UK, Spain, Canada, and about 20-some centers here in the U.S.,
so there really isn't much of an excuse for a guy. There's probably something within a short flight or a reasonable driving distance.
Yeah.
There's some offering pretty close by for him.
Undoubtedly, and we're growing more and more. So, yeah, in the U.S., there's all through the Northeast, down to Florida, the East Coast down to Florida, Midwest, Chicago, Milwaukee, down to Indianapolis, Memphis, Houston, L.A., up to San Francisco, up in the huge center in the Northwest. Yep, everywhere.
What are some of the things that you notice before a guy comes in? We talked a little earlier about he's mm-hmm. isolated or whatever, mm-hmm. and then what's different for him afterwards? Let's kind of expand on that a little bit. What's pretty mm-hmm. common about a guy before he shows up to your program?
Usually the guys, some are quite successful on the outside. They look really, really strong. Some are coming from, you know, the 12-step program where they've dealt with their addictions. Some are just like everyone, just watch other men watching football on Sunday and being with the kids and doing the best they can. But there's something in common about almost all the men that come through. There's some hunger that they have for deeper meaning, for deeper connection to themselves. And most of the men come with a bit of an isolationist kind of viewpoint. They don't trust other men. They don't connect to other men. After the weekend, there is an incredible amount of trust that they may have for other men, especially within the organization and outside the organization. And I think that may be one of the biggest things that men go and realize. They can trust themselves and they can trust other men.
That's a huge step mm-hmm. for a guy to take. Oh, wait a second. I don't trust men. Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to go be in a group with mm-hmm. a bunch of people, you know, a bunch of guys that I don't trust.
Yeah, we're used to killing each other. That's the old way. Let's bring out the swords and go to fight.
Let's take a deeper cut at that. Why would he want to do this? Why would he want to step into it?
It's interesting what happens, because the things that I would intuitively think that would make a man not trust us, we do. We're not greeting him and saying kumbaya and welcoming in this warm, loving, woo-woo place. No, our first action is really confronting him on his bullshit.
Hmm.
Why would a man trust? But there's something inside men that say, that's what I want. That's what I want.
Yeah.
And they go for it. And for the most part, men go full balls out to get what they came for.
I like, you know, it just kind of comes back to that thing of the masculine response to challenge.
Yeah.
And yeah. here's this challenge to step into a bigger, greater version of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Quit bullshitting yourself that, oh, I'm all alone. I'm the only guy that feels or thinks this way.
Yeah.
How truly special can you be? I mean, you're pretty special, but, it's like, but to really be the only guy on the planet that thinks or feels this way.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys are challenging that right off the bat.
Right on. And we continue. What we don't do is give each other free passes to get away with our bullshit all the time. We're not afraid to confront other men on their stuff. We're not afraid to confront ourselves on our own stuff. So we're not given free passes. And there's something that some men are really, really hungry for that.
As you talk about this, I could imagine someone listening to me going, Jesus Christ, sounds really arduous. But I know you, and I know other guys that have done this program, and I have my own experience in men's groups. There's something exhilarating and incredibly satisfying and fun, actually, about doing this work. Whereas when you describe it on paper, it's like, that sounds like
it sounds so heavy. And there are times when we are laughing our effing heads off the whole time. And there's some places where there's such joy released when we get rid of all that bullshit that men just want to celebrate and dance and hoot it up. And we know how to do that too.
Awesome. Awesome. Any recommendations for the guy out there? How does he find out more about this?
Yep.
What's all right. He's inspired. He wants to check this out. Where does he go?
Online. You can go to M as in man, Mankind Project, MKP.org.
Okay.
And that will get them linked in to see where they all around the world and read more about it. In many centers, there are open groups that men can go to just kind of feel in and see what kind of guys are doing this work. And that may be another way to do it, to call up the local center and say, hey, what's going on? I haven't done the training yet. I want to understand what you're doing.
Okay. Don't wait. Go to the website, mkp.org.
Yep.
Or find a local center and just dive in.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then how do we find out more about you, Ed?
Well, you can find out from me from edfeld.com. I'm in Boulder here, and I'm a therapist and coach and help men to find their power. And my specialty is in relationships and sexuality. And you can read about me at edfeld.com.
Excellent. Ed, anything else as we wrap it up?
I think we hit it all.
All right.
It was a trip.
All right, my man. So good to have you on the show.
Yeah, you too.
Thanks for sharing about the Mankind Project. Yeah, thanks, buddy.
All right, thanks.
Please visit triplanier.com and let us know what you'd like to hear on the New Man Podcast. Thanks for listening.